A crossover is...
Crossover dribble.
Sing for the crossover.
Kyrie Irving, crossover in the lane.
One of the most famous crossovers of all time.
Behind the back, an ankle breaker on Chris Paul.
Crossover.
Crossover.
Crossover, double crossover.
The crossover continues to evolve.
Time for the crossover, Sevier and Benning over. Time for the Gary Sharp Show featuring George. I mean, part of the trade. Were you excited yesterday?
No, let me first, before George responds. So, this was happening at the end of the show yesterday.
Okay.
And so, George was getting all excited to get the heck out of here so he could get to his computer and just watch everything unfold. And then when I got home, I saw that Indiana all of a sudden was involved in this trade.
Yes.
And Oladipo was gone. And I texted George. George responded with four letters.
Did one of them F?
And one of them ended with K.
Okay, got it. I know the word.
Yep.
I got it. Okay, funk. I get it.
I just don't like how James Harden's mess decides to affect everybody else in the league.
You know what's worst? The worst thing about this is, as someone who has kids, you always tell your child, at least I do, that you got to fight through things. You got to make things work. But the worst thing you can do is make it hard for other people. Like, don't be in the class making problems for other people. He made it hard on everybody else at that place, and in the end, he got what he wanted.
He ate his way out of Houston.
Ate his way and complained his way and played his way right out of Houston to where he wanted to be.
Which I think you said this, or somebody else has, here on the Zone. They don't buy jerseys because players change. And if you're a Rockets fan and you're heavily in, first of all, it's rough to be a Houston sports fan right now because you have Harden, Watson, and the Astros, and you're going to lose George Springer. But if you're a Rocket fan and you're super invested in your team, and why wouldn't you be? I mean, they've been on a nice little run for, you know, since Harden has been there. All of a sudden, you invest time in James Harden, and he treats you like that this year. And I think, you know, I mean, I think LeBron's, one of LeBron's contributions to the NBA is the power of the player.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And James Harden took the power of the player to force himself out of Houston, and Houston had no recourse. There's nothing Houston could do to say, hey, just settle down, go back and play. They couldn't.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they got a nice haul, but that's James Harden.
Yeah. This is not new. The NBA's been this way. It's been this way since Jabbar forced his way out of Milwaukee. It's been this way for many of the best players in the game. The difference is we had so many teams for so many years where guys just stayed. It was only a few guys. Now, almost anybody can force their way out. Almost anybody could make a team make a trade, where it used to be just the biggest stars could do it.
And that's
the difference now.
You think about it, Kobe Bryant could have done this at the tail end of his career.
Yeah.
Because I think the Lakers were going to accommodate him.
Mm-hmm. They could have amnestied him.
And they were going to let him have one more run because they knew that they were in hell.
Yeah.
And he decided, no, I'm going to stay. But look at what happened yesterday in the NBA. I mean, I'm not a fan of this. I hope everybody beats Brooklyn. But the NBA, which never rests, dominated the news cycle again.
It did.
On a week which we've got NFL playoffs and we've got some of the major brands in the NFL playing. It's amazing how the NBA, just one trade. People get more excited sometimes about trades in the NBA, free agency, than they do about the actual games.
Yeah, and this is what the NBA has been, this is what the NFL has done to so many sports. Jumping in the middle of their season and saying, okay, we're going to take news away from you. That news yesterday was perfect because I think everybody's going to have a side on that. Even if you're not an NBA fan, you're not a Brooklyn Nets fan, you're not a Houston Rockets fan, which, by the way, most of Houston Rockets fans are idiots. So anyway, so the thing is, let me throw that in there again.
Wow, that was quite the change.
Idiots. Except for Mike Sauter, who I like. Anyway.
Why is he a Rocket fan?
I have no idea.
You
remember Choke City? They actually posted the picture on 45, Choke City. Then they came back and won a series, and all of a sudden they were Clutch City. Give me a break. Two titles you got because Jordan wasn't playing. Anyway, the great thing about this is everybody's got a side. Because either you're looking at it and saying, yeah, that's right. You don't want to be there. You go do what you want. And then you have the people like us that are going, I can't believe you were a baby and got what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing in the world to be a baby and get what you want.
As I said when I walked into the studio, who would have thought that of the three, Kevin Durant would be the most likable?
The guy with the multiple burner accounts.
But don't you guys think part of the deal that the Nets did, and hey, we can knock James Harden for doing what he did, and that's wrong. But I'm not knocking the Nets because they're all in. And the NBA is an all-in league
yep.
where People want to win titles, and they'll sacrifice the future.
Yeah.
And it could come back to bite them. Heck, look, they sacrificed in 13 when they had Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Jason Terry.
Yep.
And look, and that was bad.
Yep.
So they've gone back all in on this.
Yeah.
And the only way it works out is if they have a ring or two.
There's a thing that's...
But, so I give credit to the Nets for going all in. This is either going to be glorious or it's going to go down in flames.
They're in a unique spot, and I know this spot very well as a Mets fan. You're in a city that is dominated really and truly by one team. Even when the Mets are good, it's still a Yankee town. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be a Knicks town. I don't care if it's been since whenever, you know, 72 or whatever, winning a championship, good, maybe 95. But it's always going to be. Your one chance you have to pull fans and kind of steal a little bit is to win a championship. Mm-hmm. The challenge for a championship. Because everybody loves a champion. And that's the only way you can do it. It will always be a Knick town, but they'll be able to steal a little bit back if they can win at a high level.
Yeah, it's on the other coast as well. I mean, that'll always be a Laker team.
Yep, the Clippers can't ever. Yep.
You know, the Clippers may get a title, but it still will always be a Laker town.
Definitely. That's just the way it is.
But we need to get Steve Nash, the best therapist on the East Coast, because he's going to have to deal with a whole lot.
You know,
he's already dealing with a whole lot.
You know why not? He's Canadian.
Oh.
Nobody lets stuff roll off their back better than Canadians. They're really good at it, dude. They're the anti-Americans. We're always uptight. Canadians are like, psh, you know how cold it is up here? I'm fine. It'll be fine. I think he can handle it. I think that dude can. Most people would not be able to. I think Steve Nash
can handle it.
Will handle it. Yes. I'm telling you, man, Canadians are cool people.
No, he will be in a benefit. He's played with multiple superstars before.
Yeah. And he's been one himself.
Yeah. I don't know, though. But they're their predominant favorites in the East. I mean, they were already one of the favorites. But
so they were the second favorite behind Milwaukee. Now they're the favorite ahead of Milwaukee. And if you gave me a bet saying that they won't win, you know, a no bet, I would take it right now. I'd take a no bet. There is no way that team's winning in the East. No way. I think it's now plus 120. That's crazy.
Well, here's
no team in the East deserves plus.
Here's what'll happen with Nets games. Like, Nets will be must watch because they're going to score 160, but they're going to give up 150.
Yeah.
And still the team in the NBA is the team that's 10-3 with LeBron James, who almost pulled a LeBron last night, going 27-7-7.
Hey, by the way, you can get +2.5 right now with the Lakers winning the championship. That's really good. Wow. With a team that is that good with that player. Not going to lose a game 7, right? Give me that. That's about as good as odds you're going
to
ever get.
But that's what we need in sports. We need a collective team we hate. And Brooklyn just stepped up to the plate.
We need another
yesterday.
Russia? We need a USSR back.
I mean, our sports are better.
I got lots of those.
Our sports are better when we collectively have a team that we absolutely hate. Like, when collectively we all hate the New York Yankees. Sports are better.
You're not wrong.
We collectively hate the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
Sports are extremely better when that's the case.
The funny part about that, though, Gary, is the more people hate them, the larger the fan base
they
have.
Oh, I know, but that's good, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big Q rating. Everybody knows them, and everybody's got an opinion on them. So, yeah. Here, while I was talking about Damon earlier today, when you think about great players, especially in basketball, and you close your eyes, you remember a play that they made. And I think it's like this with LeBron's always going to have that rundown block. And he's got plenty, but that one, right? Jordan's got his, whether it's the Cavs or, you know, giving the shrug of the shoulders or whatever else. It's a guy who's a great player stepping up to win a game for you. Yep. How many does James Harden have? Now, reverse that. Yep. How many does he have the opposite way? Did you see the number today? He has 8 games in deciding playoff games where he shot 20% or less. You know who the closest is to that? Your boy, Paul George. 3. 3.
Playoff P.
3. You got 8 every single time, almost outside of one time, where it was a situation where they needed him to step up to win. He failed. And not just failed little. He failed a ton.
Yeah, there's a lot of Golden State fans.
0 for 10s.
A lot of Golden State fans are having fun with that stat.
No doubt.
So he's either. So this is like the hat trick of James Harden. He is a villain. He is a, you could say he's a system guy, or he's an offensive genius. And he can be all of those things in the same game.
Sure.
Yeah.
But his legacy is turned now because he is bringing the scrutiny on him, just like LeBron did. Yeah. When LeBron made the decision to go to Miami and that team started to build around him as he attracted people, the scrutiny changed. And The only way to get past that scrutiny is to win titles.
To win it.
And if James Harden doesn't win a title, it'll grow and grow and grow. And rightfully so, because you ate your way out of Houston. Bad for the NBA.
Yes.
I think that's bad for the NBA. If I'm a fringe NBA fan, I'm like, okay, I pay attention, but I'm not all in it like George. I see crap like this that it becomes so player empowerment. I'm like, nah, that's okay. I'm good.
But you just said they stole the day. Look what's right here on ESPN right now. As you mentioned, it's Thursday of Divisional Championship Week. Yesterday, the NHL opened their season, and this is all that they're talking about. So they did steal the PR.
And ESPN knows their audience, the age of their audience, and where they, you know, the NBA does a lot of really good things in terms of capturing their demographic. One, ESPN knows that the NBA will sell. We get tired of it, but they know that it'll sell. The NBA does a great job of the leagues on their social media, the clips they give you, all the information they give you on social media, and they don't have a lot of red tape that they make you go through.
While baseball is suing you for doing it.
Yes. So the NBA is smart. Yeah. The NBA, Adam Silver's probably sitting in his office going, man, this is great. This is great because you're right. Yeah. He flips on the TV there in New York City, and he's got all of the major shows, and they're talking about his league. And you know what they're not? They're not talking about how COVID is really messing with the NBA this week.
Postpone.
People are talking about Harden.
Yeah. Gary, let me ask you. George, let me ask you a basketball question.
What up?
How many basketballs will they be able to use in the games where the Nets are playing? Is it still just one?
Still just one. They're going to need two.
You have three of the worst, highest usage rates, right, in the league in these three guys.
Yeah.
And two of the guys are basically dribble first guys.
Yes.
And they still have a 24-second clock, or they changed that?
Still okay. All right, still 24, yeah.
I'd bet against that in a heartbeat, winning the East. And I'm a Sixer fan. Mm. I never bet on the Sixers, right? But I would take the Sixers over them.
I just think they won't play defense.
I think the Celtics over them. Again, and I take the Bucks over them.
160 to 150 will be Brooklyn games.
Here's my issue. Their bench.
Yeah, they're missing three. They have three spots open.
Yeah. Dinwiddie for the season, and then Caris LeVert and Jared Allen are now both gone.
Yeah.
And at the beginning of the season, we were talking about they're 10 deep, 10, 11 deep.
I know. So talk to Kevin Durant how he feels.
Yeah.
He comes back from being off for a long time, and all of a sudden he's thrust into a situation where he got to play a lot of minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I also wonder if part of the decision, you know, Nets are in it to win it, they want to win a championship, is they don't think that Kyrie's going to last very long. Because I think there's something
Why would they think that?
There's something messed up with Kyrie.
Something.
I keep telling you people, look at the definition. It's what he is. It's not a horrible thing to say somebody is a sociopath. It's just a diagnosis. The worst part about it is when you're this way is that you're at your worst when things are at their best. Mm-hmm. It's a very weird thing, right? When things are going great, you find a way to make them bad. You're uncomfortable. Matter of fact, you're better when your back's against the wall and everything's against you. That's the person you want him to be. The problem is that right now, that's not what's happening with this team.
Yeah, he's unique to begin with. You know, you had the whole flat earth. Then you had him walking around the floor in Boston during the preseason with Sage. Now he's just disappeared.
Yeah.
His latest thing is he thinks that everyone should be drafted in the NBA, even if you're on a roster, because you are not someone's property.
What? Every year, you mean?
Every year that you should be drafted.
So we should do a fantasy draft every year with teams?
His quote is, you are not someone's property.
Okay, let me just say, that's an awesome idea, as much as I think he's crazy, because that would be really fun. I would love that. That would make me really happy. I know it's irrational. How would you have a salary cap? How would you deal with all of that? But that would be cool.
I mean, he just essentially wants you to play fantasy basketball every year.
That's what it would be. It'd be the smartest people out there with the best analytics that draft the best team, which wouldn't be a bad thing. I wouldn't mind that.
Hey, he thinks outside of the box.
He does. Way outside the box.
But everybody warned the Nets that this is what you were getting. I mean, I think the Celtics called up the Nets and said,
are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you serious? We got a guy with a bum knee that we wanted over this guy. And that's another thing. Health-wise, Kyrie hasn't proven that he can stay healthy.
No. So the Nets now, after last night, they won against the Knicks. So they played 85 games when he has been part of the organization, and he's appeared in 27 of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that's a lot of money you're paying for a guy that who's only played in 27 and now right now is AWOL.
What's crazy, though, is he actually, remember I was talking about, he had that, you close your eye and you remember stuff. He's got one of those plays. He's got the
he
shot.
Does.
He's got one. Harden doesn't.
When Kyrie wants to play basketball, he's really, really good. But you know what? It's time for guys to grow up and be a professional. They're not in college anymore. They're not at home living in the basement and playing high school hoops. They are professionals, and they have been rewarded with a handsome contract by the team that wants them to be part of their organization and be successful. Grow up and be a professional. How hard is that? How hard is it to be a professional?
Well, I asked you guys that in terms of being able to deal with the end of a game, and you didn't think it was that big then. I think being a professional is one of the hardest things you have, especially if it's somebody who, since they were 14 or 13 years old, has been told, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. And now all of a sudden I got to take orders from somebody, or I got to be able to get along. That's hard to do. You have to be able, even with a dog, you have to be stern and train. I'm not comparing a player to a dog, but even with that, then you move on to your kids. You have to have discipline. You've got to set limitations. If you don't set limitations, then what are they going to think is going to happen when it comes to a situation where somebody does eventually set limitations on them? They're going to act like this.
They're going to say, trade me. I'm going to eat my way out of Houston.
Trade me. I'm not going to play. I'm upset. Blah, blah, blah.
How about James Harden? In 8 days, he has a restaurant that opens in Houston.
Does he really?
Mm-hmm.
What does it serve, you know?
I think it's a barbecue.
Oh, they'll not make it. It won't make it.
Barbecue / soul food.
Okay, that won't make it.
So Joe Madden's restaurant did not stay open very long after he departed from Chicago.
Right. It's very difficult. Especially in a city like Houston, where a lot of people eat out, but you have so many selections. And also, the city, you guys realize how big Harris County is and how big Houston is. Some people don't even go to the other side of town. Like, their lives. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never been to 5. People are like, I've never even been over to 590 or 59. Because they don't even go to that side of town, you know? So I lived in Spring in the Woodlands. There are people who live on the other side, like, Buffalo Speedway area, that's never even been over there. Mm-hmm. Because they just don't do that. You open a restaurant there, your neighborhood better support you. If it doesn't, you're in trouble. It's a weird town. It's a little bit like Phoenix, actually.
Well, it's three. Look at the three professional sports teams. So the Astros won a World Series recently.
Yeah.
But then, you know, yesterday was the year anniversary of the cheating scandal punishments. Then you have
the
Texans who, you know, had been going to the playoffs. And just a few years ago, they were on the cusp of being the team in the AFC.
Yeah.
And now they're in shambles.
They're a mess.
And now you have the Rockets who were up 3-1 on Golden State and a team that might have won the NBA championship that season and has been competitive. And now all of a sudden,
but don't you like their future, though? Don't you like their future? Again, you're talking, we don't know how good the Nets are going to be and when that's going to fall apart. So in a year that could fall apart, and then all of a sudden you're getting a top 10 unprotected pick for 4 years or flipping the pick with them in a pick swap. I mean, I think Houston's actually in a pretty good spot.
I don't know if Daryl Morey was still there. Well, if Daryl Morey is still there, James Harden is still there.
I know. I was so happy he didn't go to the Sixers. Oh, my God, I was so happy. So happy.
You don't know what they're going to do with that pick. I mean, do you trust the person that's going to be making that pick?
It's. I'm not saying they can't mess it up. Anybody can mess it up. But if you've noticed, they've gotten better drafting. You're doing a better job now overall in the NBA. You're not getting years like 86 over again and stuff like that. I just think you're doing a better job. You understand more now what these kids are and what they can be. We'll see. I don't know. But, I mean, that's a pretty good spot to have that many draft picks, that much money available. I don't know. And you still have a superstar. Right? I mean, they could be in a situation where they don't have a superstar.
They have a guy named John Wall who
he's a superstar.
Been actually pretty good.
That's what I'm saying. They still have a superstar.
Well, I don't know.
It could be worse.
At the end of the day, we're all here to watch Kyrie and Harden try and get together in Brooklyn.
Got to find Kyrie first.
Well, I think we found him. He's on a Zoom.
Oh.
He was. I saw that, yeah.
He departed. He went somewhere else. He's still not on that Zoom.
Good for him.
He forgot to turn his camera off.
Got one guy who's on a Zoom.
Just hanging out in his house.
The other guy's on his burner account. The other guy's eating.
Will Urban Meyer be Nick Saban or Steve Spurrier, or will he be Pete Carroll?
I'm going to say he's going to succeed because he's never failed at anything that we've been able to see, right? Maybe he's failed in other things, but I don't care if it's Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, Ohio State, or as the best thing going on that Fox pregame show, He hasn't failed.
See, the biggest loser through all this is Fox.
It is true, because he's the reason why I tuned in.
They, in their 2 years with the Fox Big Nude Show.
They're nude now?
Well, that's what they call it, the Big Nude Show.
Okay.
You'll never hear it the other way again.
Okay, fine.
Oh, you know, no, you guys don't hear that?
I hear Big Noon. Okay.
I didn't hear it before you said it, and now that's all I hear.
But he was the best thing going, and that helped them close the gap a little bit towards ESPN.
It did.
And so I think ESPN probably in the offseason will retool game day a little bit. But no Urban Meyer. I mean, who are you going to pivot to get a guy like Urban Meyer to sit on your set that would add that kind of insight from his perspective?
But you want somebody funny? You want to go the other direction? What Spurrier doing?
And I don't know that Spurrier.
What's he doing?
He works at Florida.
He'd be fun.
He has an office in the football stadium.
Still has an office there?
Yes.
Okay.
He is like an ambassador or something.
He's obviously not going to go and live out in L.A. You got to find somebody willing to go live out in L.A., at least spend a lot of time in L.A. But I don't know. We were talking about, obviously Tom Herman isn't working right now, but the guy needs to be older. It's always an older guy that's doing that. I always thought Mac Brown was the next guy, and then he went back and coached some more. So I don't know who the next guy is.
See, Mac Brown, I think if he would have committed to it, I think he always wanted to go back to coaching. I think he could have been a good on-site analyst. I didn't really like him sitting on a desk.
Well, when he was in the booth, the problem was all he talked about is where the guys went to high school.
Well, and he also bolted early during one game.
Well, sometimes you got to leave.
It was on a Friday night. He left in the third quarter.
I think as a Corso replacement, he would have been perfect. That's where I think he'd have been great.
See, I think if game day makes a move on Lee Corso, they go completely opposite. They don't do the headgear pick.
But do you go out and you get a coach?
I think you got to go get a coach. Like Saban would be ideal, but Nick Saban's not joining you probably for another decade.
Right. Yeah. I don't know who else you would go get that has the kind of personality. I'm not saying you have to do the headgear, but you do have to have a certain kind of personality. Urban Meyer's personality was, look, I'm going to tell you what works. I know this works. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe me, that's fine. And then by the time you're done listening to him, you're like, wow, this guy knows what he's talking about.
And it also helped with Fox having their connection to the Big Ten.
Yeah, it did.
You got a guy that knows the league really well.
Yeah, that's very true.
Now, you and I have talked about this. He's walking into a really good situation.
I love the situation he is in.
Look, you've got, $75 million in cap room.
Yes.
You've got all those draft picks.
You have talent at running back. You have talent at wide receiver.
I think if I'm remembering correctly, in the first four rounds, they have the first or seventh pick in each of the four rounds.
Don't they have six picks in the first? Yeah.
Well, don't they have 11 overall, I think?
I think that's probably right. But I think in the first two days, I believe they have that many picks. And you're going to get Trevor Lawrence, who many people believe is a can't miss, which, you know, anything can happen. I like that roster. I think we're talking in 2 years. So a second-year Trevor Lawrence, if everybody stays healthy, you'd be pretty good. It's a division that's open too.
Yeah.
Because what's going to happen with the Colts? I don't know. Phillip Rivers come back, doesn't come back. Yeah. I don't know. You mentioned what Houston is right now. And Tennessee, Derrick Henry, Tannehill, I don't know
but
where they are.
They're probably going to lose their OC.
Yeah. So I think you're in a perfect spot being in that South.
And it'll come down to, Nick Saban and Steve Spurrier, they were so used to it in college of recruiting at a high level that they could get whoever they wanted. You can't get whoever you want. You get one, then you sit out for 31 picks, and then you get to come back and pick another one.
Listen, if Nick has a better doctor at Miami,
well,
Drew Brees is probably there, and maybe it's a different story. His problem was he thought he could do everything, and realized right away that you can't do everything. I've got to be able to delegate. Spurrier wanted to go play golf. He didn't decide to block for his quarterback. I mean that's a bad. That guy cannot be compared to anybody else. Pete Carroll's probably the best example of a guy who understood what he needed to do in terms of getting an OC, getting a DC, having a good player personnel thing. He probably figured it out better.
Well, I think it also helped Pete Carroll went NFL college, and then in two places, he learned his lessons from the NFL.
Yeah, learned
from the
Jets.
What he can do in college at SC, and then I think that's helped him at Seattle. But it's important to get the GM hire right.
Yes.
And so Urban Meyer will be able to hire whoever he wants as the GM. But it's also the thing about Urban Meyer, and I was going to get into this a little bit later, is if you look at Urban Meyer's career, especially when it comes to the offensive side of the ball, he likes quarterbacks that are mobile. He usually has spent a lot of time recruiting that side of the ball. But the one thing Urban Meyer has done is Urban Meyer, wherever he has gone, has been smart. He's not an offensive genius. He makes a great OC or a quarterback coach hire.
Yeah, he does.
And he lets them do it. Urban Meyer is not the guy that's like dialing up all these plays.
Yeah.
He says, I'm hiring an OC. I'm hiring a quarterback coach. I'm going to let them go and do that. Although and he did a good job in the latter years in at Ohio State as just being a CEO.
Look at the one complete. So look at the one stabilizing factor on every one of those teams that has success, whether it be Bowling Green or Utah, Florida. He's also hit on quarterbacks.
He's had NFL quarterbacks.
He's hit on quarterbacks as good as Alex Smith was there. He had a backup NFL quarterback at Bowling Green. He has had success. You know he knows how to pick a quarterback. If it is Trevor Lawrence, it's everything he needs. Guy's mobile. He's got a cannon for an arm. He's very smart. And I think he's going to win over Jacksonville because of the way he is. And he can't have a better start than getting that guy.
He'll make a really good OC hire and a quarterback coach hire. I'll be curious to see what his staff looks like, either veteran NFL experience or if there are guys out of college that he plucks. I'll tell you, somebody who would be very intriguing to me if Dan Mullen was interested in joining his staff, because Urban Meyer and Dan Mullen were a pretty good pair together.
They were.
But Dan Mullen would be, I mean, that would be a step down. You would only take that job thinking, okay, if I ever want to coach in the NFL, I'm going to go to Jacksonville. I'm going to be the OC or the quarterback coach, and that's going to help me get an NFL job.
It could also get you a college job, because that's where college is looking a lot, too.
There aren't many jobs that I think you would take that are above Florida.
Right.
But if he was thinking about the NFL and you get that sense.
Right, I don't think that'd be a place.
Would Urban Meyer turn to a current head coach? Like, here's somebody who I think would be good for him, but there's no way he burned that bridge, would be Tom Herman. I think Tom Herman, to go and rehab his career, go and work for Urban Meyer in the NFL, but that's not going to happen after all the stuff that came down with Zach Smith.
What do you think about, I saw somebody tweeted, Bob Stoops on the set for Fox.
Is his son still got eligibility?
Yeah, I think
right?
he's only like a sophomore.
If his son wasn't at OU anymore, I think that'd be an interesting way to go.
Hmm.
But I think he loves watching his son play.
Right.
I mean, he talked about that all year. I don't know. I'm still waiting for Bob Stoops to come back, but we get further and further away from Bob Stoops coming back to the
sidelines. I still think it's only a couple jobs. Yeah, whatever happens at USC. Maybe that's a possibility.
He got Urban Meyer out of the way for the Notre Dame
and
job.
And the Notre Dame
job. Don't have to worry about Urban Meyer's competition.
And there's only
anymore.
Really a couple of jobs out there that he would come back for. And it makes sense. Why? Only pick the one you know you're going to be most successful. He just got into the College Football Hall of Fame. His winning percentage is .798. Why come back and damage that? Come back to a place where you think you can equal that.
Oh, and he left Lincoln Riley with... You know, he left him, the cupboard was full.
Yeah, he left a year early.
Like some people, you know, they leave the cupboard bare and then they steal the cupboard. I mean, his legacy is set in Norman.
Right.
I mean, you didn't have to worry about that. And he's got, now he's in the alcohol business.
Is it what he got, tequila?
Yep.
A lot of people have tequila, man. That's pretty popular.
I guess you can make pretty good money.
Either weed or tequila. That's kind of like the thing to go in for now.
Yeah, I think in his position, the weed thing would be a little bit tough.
But the
tequila thing is very, very popular. Yes. Just think, that guy could have been the head coach at Iowa.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Bob Stoops could have been the head coach at Nebraska. Could have been the head coach at Nebraska. Coming off of the 95 national championship, where he's a defensive coordinator. I mean, not 95, 96 national championship. He could have gone anywhere, right? At that point? Now, he didn't get hired until 98 at Oklahoma, right?
99. Yep.
So he was one of the guys that was like, I'm not going to go to a place where they fire a win-I-win coach. I mean, he certainly could have had the job here.
So here's the thing about Bob Stoops is, you know, the defensive background. I mean, look at the coaches that he worked for, whether it was Hayden Fry at Iowa after his playing career was over. You know, he went and worked for Bill Snyder.
Right.
You know, then he went to Florida and worked for Spurrier.
Yep.
So he used what he did at Florida as a defensive coordinator to get the Oklahoma job.
Right.
Bob Stoops won one national title.
I know. And it was his second year.
Second year at OU with a lot of players that were left over from John Blake. He went and got Josh Heupel.
Yes.
And I think Marshall, the linebacker.
We moved Marshall over. Yeah. So he did two things. He had a cupboard that had a lot of good talent, but he put guys in better positions. That helped and went out and got a JC quarterback.
And he also did something that I think is vitally important. And whether it be Urban Meyer now with Jacksonville or other coaches, he put together a great staff from the start. I mean, he put together a superstar staff at OU when they took over.
Well, they had Leach, right?
They had Mangino.
And who is another offensive mind that was with those guys.
Why do I want to say Kevin Wilson was there?
I think he was there.
Okay.
I think he was there. That's pretty good.
And he said, my strength is defense. Don't worry about us. I'm going to go out and I'm going to hire superstar coaches on the offensive side.
Yeah.
And all those guys went on and eventually were head coaches. But just one national title, and that was in his second year.
Yeah.
And then played in one of, well, and then they got blown out by USC.
Yeah, that was the lowest rated game before Monday night. 51-14 or something like that. Yeah. He, great coach, obviously. Seven, nine, eight. He also took advantage of whatever happened in that Big 12.
Yep.
You know, that whole change of the way all the power moved to the South. We certainly saw some teams over in the North drop off, like a Nebraska. He took advantage of what the opportunity was. Yeah.
Yeah, there was no, because, you know, Colorado was not the same as when he showed up in 99.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes it is about timing, you know?
Oh.
Sometimes it's about timing. Just getting there at the right time, and especially if you have the commitment from your university. And Oklahoma obviously was desperate to get back to where they were at that point and give him whatever he wanted.
Well, from the start of his staff at OU to the tail end, the man is a good evaluator of coaches.
Yes.
I mean, he hired his heir apparent to come run his offense.
And again, like I said, left a year early to give him some advantages.
Yep. We'll see.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Urban Meyer's hire also might have saved the NFL in Jacksonville, even with the owner having a ton of money.
Why, you think they were going to go to London?
No, man. They're London's team.
I know they are. They're playing over there every year.
I wonder if they walk that back now.
Now, didn't his deal over there fall apart?
I don't know.
I
thought it was still in place that they were going to play three games a year in London.
But I thought he was going to buy, wasn't he going to buy Wembley or something? And he didn't, that fell apart? He's still co-owner or owner of the team over there? I thought he had this investment he was going to make in the stadium or something, and that was going to kind of solidify them being London's team. But
well, I mean, only bad teams go over and play in London, so
that's not true. Everybody's got to go. Everybody's got to go. It sucks. They sent the Saints over there. I was like, what are you doing? That doesn't make any sense.
Packers still haven't gone.
You haven't gone, really?
Packers still haven't gone.
Wow. Okay.
See, that's...
The Cowboys played over there, didn't they?
Took a Chiefs home game away a few years ago.
They took the Saints home game away, to go over there and play. Huh. I know Detroit's been over there.
Detroit's been over there quite often.
Yeah, I know. That's rough. Yeah, so...
All right.
Have a great show.
Thanks, Michael.